Ezekiel 14, 12 through 16, 41. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, suppose the people of a country were to sin against me, and I lifted my fist to crush them, cutting off their food supply. And sending a famine to destroy them, both people and animals. And if Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, their righteousness would save no one but themselves, says the Sovereign. Even if, says the Sovereign Lord. Or suppose I were to send wild animals to invade the country, kill the people, and make the land too desolate and dangerous to pass through. Surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, even if those three men were there, they wouldn't be able to save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved. But the land would be desolate. Or suppose I were to bring war against the land, and I sent armies to destroy both people and animals. Surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, even if those three men were there, they wouldn't be able to save even their sons or daughters. They alone would be saved. Or suppose I were to pour out my fury by sending an epidemic to the land, and disease killed people and animals alike. Surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, they wouldn't be able to save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved by their righteousness. And now this is what the Sovereign Lord says. How terrible it will be for all, when all four of these dreadful punishments fall upon Jerusalem. War, famine, wild animals, and disease. Destroying all her people and animals. Yet there will be survivors, and they will come here to join you as exiles in Babylon. You will see with your own eyes how wicked they are, and then you will feel better about what I have done to Jerusalem when you meet them and see their behavior. You will understand that these things are not being done to Israel without cause. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Chapter 15. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, how does a grapevine compare to a tree? Is a vine's wood as useful as a wood of a tree? Can its wood be used for making things like pegs to hang up pots or pans? No, it can only be used for fuel. And even as for fuel, it burns too quickly. Vines are useless, both before and after being put into the fire. And this is what the Sovereign Lord says. People of Jerusalem are like grapevines growing among the trees of the forest. Since they are useless, I have thrown them on the fire to be burned. And I will see to it that if they escape from one fire, they will fall into another. When I turn against them, you will know that I am the Lord. And I will make the land desolate because my people have been unfaithful to me. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Chapter 16. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable sins. Give her this message from the Sovereign Lord. You are nothing but a Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite. On the day you were born, no one cared about you. Your umbilical cord was not cut, and you were never washed, rubbed with salt, or wrapped in cloth. No one had the slightest interest in you, no one pitied you, or cared for you. On the day you were born, you were unwanted, dumped in the field, and left to die. But I came by and saw you there. Helplessly kicking about in your own blood. As you lived there, I said, live. They helped you to thrive there. Like a plant in the field. You grew up and became a beautiful jewel. Your breast became full and your body grew hair grew, but you were still naked. And when I passed by again, I saw that you were old enough for love. So I wrapped my cloak around you to cover your nakedness and declared my marriage vows. I made a covenant with you, says the Sovereign Lord, and you became mine. And I bathed you, washed off your blood, and rubbed fragrant oils into your skin. I gave you expensive clothing of fine linen and silk, beautifully embroidered, and sandals made of fine goatskin leather. I gave you lovely jewelry, bracelets, beautiful necklaces, a ring for your nose, earrings for your ears, and a lovely crown for your head. And so you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were made of fine linen and were beautifully embroidered. You ate the finest foods, choice flour, honey, and olive oil. You became more beautiful than ever. You looked like a queen, and so you were. Your fame soon spread throughout the world because of your beauty. I dressed you in my splendor and perfected your beauty, says the Sovereign Lord. But you thought your fame and beauty were your own, so you gave yourself as a prostitute to every man who came along. Your beauty was theirs for the asking. You used the lovely things I gave you to make shrines for idols where you played the prostitute. Unbelievable. How could such a thing ever happen? You took the very jewels and gold and silver ornaments I had given you and made statues of men and worshipped them. This is adultery against me. You used the beautifully embroidered clothes that I gave you to dress your idols. Then you used my special oil and my incense to worship them. Imagine it. You set before them as a sacrifice the choice of flour, olive oil, and honey I had given you, says the Sovereign Lord. Then you took your sons and daughters, the children you had born to me, and sacrificed them to your gods. Was your prostitution not enough? Must you also slaughter my children by sacrificing them to idols? In all your years of adultery and detestable sin, you have not once remembered the days long ago when you lay naked in a field, kicking about in your own blood. What sorrow awaits you, says the Sovereign Lord. In addition to all your other wickedness, you built a pagan shrine and put altars to idols in every town square. On every street corner you defiled your beauty, offering your body to every passerby in an endless stream of prostitution. Then you added lustful Egypt to your lovers, provoking my anger with your increasing promiscuity. So I struck you with my fist and reduced to your boundaries. I handed you over to your enemies, the Philistines, and even they were shocked by your lewd conduct. You prostituted yourself with the Assyrians, too. Seems you can never find enough new lovers. After your prostitution there, you still were not satisfied. You added to your lovers by embracing Babylonia, a land of merchants, but you still weren't satisfied. What a sick heart you have, says the Sovereign Lord, to do such things as these, acting like a shameless prostitute. You build your pagan shrines on every street corner and your altars and idols in every square. In fact, you have been worse than a prostitute, so eager for sin that you have not even demanded payment. Yes, you're an adulterous wife who takes in strangers instead of her own husband. Prostitutes charge for their services, but not you. You give gifts to your lovers, bribing them to come and have sex with you. So you're the opposite of other prostitutes. You pay your lovers instead of they're paying you. Therefore, you prostitute, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you have poured out your lust and exposed yourself in prostitution to all your lovers, and because you have worshipped detestable idols, and because you have slaughtered your children as sacrifices to your gods, this is what I'm going to do to you. I will gather together all your allies, the lovers with whom you have sinned, because those who loved you loved and those who you hated, both those you loved and those you hated. I will strip you naked in front of them so they can stare at you. I will punish you for your murder and adultery. I will cover you with blood in my jealous fury. And I will give you these many nations who are your lovers, and they will destroy you, give you to them. They will knock down your pagan shrines and altars to your idols. They will strip you and take you your beautiful jewels, leaving you stark naked. They will band together in a mob to stone you and cut you up with swords. They will burn your homes and punish you in front of many women. I will stop your prostitution and end your payments to your many lovers. Then at last my fury against you will be spent, and my jealous anger will subside. I will be calm and not angry with you anymore. But first, because you have not remembered your youth, but have angered me by doing all these evil things, that says the Sovereign, I will repay you for all your sins, says the Sovereign Lord. For you have added lewd acts to your detestable sins. Everyone who makes up proverbs will say of you, like mother, like daughter. For your mother loathes your husband and her children, and so do you. And you are exactly like your sisters, for they despise their husbands and their children. Truly, your mother was a Hittite, and your father was an Amorite. Your older sister was Samaria, who lived with her daughters in the north. Your younger daughter was Sodom, who lived with her daughters in the south. But you did not merely sin as they did. You quickly surpassed them in corruption. Surely, as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, Sodom and her daughters were never as wicked as you and your daughters. Sodom's sin was pride, gluttony, laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. She was proud and committed detestable sins, so I wiped her out even as you have seen. But even Samaria did not commit half your sins. You have done far more detestable things than your sisters did. They seem righteous compared to you. Shame on you. Your sins are so terrible that you make your daughter seem righteous, even virtuous. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18 through verse 28. Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law never made anything perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope, through which we draw near to God. This new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. But there was an oath regarding Jesus, for God said to him, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for his own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all, when he offered himself as a sacrifice for people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son made the perfect high priest forever, has been made the perfect high priest forever. Proverbs 27, verses 4 through 6. Anger is cruel, and wrath is like a flood, but jealousy is even more dangerous. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Words from a sincere friend are better than the kisses from an enemy.